Chapter 30 Lloyd Henreid was down on his knees. He was humming and grinning. Every now and then he would forget what he had been humming, and the grin would fade, and he would sob a little bit. And then he would forget he was crying and go on humming. The song he was humming was Camptown Races. Every now and then, instead of humming or sobbing, he would whisper, "Do-da, do-da," under his breath. The holding cell block was utterly quiet, except for the humming, the sobbing, the occasional do-da, and the soft scrape of the cot leg as Lloyd fumbled with it. He was trying to turn Trask's body around so he could get at the leg. "Please, waiter, bring me some more of that coleslaw and another leg." Lloyd looked like a man who had embarked upon a radical crash diet. His prison coverall hung on his body like a limp sail. The last meal served in the holding cell block had been lunch 8 days ago. Lloyd's skin was stretched tightly across his face, limning every curve and angle of the skull beneath. He looked crazy. "Do-da, do-da," Lloyd whispered as he fished with his cot leg. Once upon a time, he hadn't known why he had bothered hurting his fingers to unscrew the damn thing. Once upon a time, he had thought he had known what real hunger was. That hunger had been nothing but a slight edge to the appetite when compared with this. "Ride around all night, ride around all day, do-da." The cot leg snagged the cuff of Trask's pants leg and then pulled free. Lloyd put his head down and sobbed like a child. Behind him, tossed indifferently in one corner, was the skeleton of the rat he had killed in Trask's cell on June 29th, 5 days ago. The rat's long pink tail was still attached to the skeleton. Lloyd had tried repeatedly to eat the tail, but it was too tough. Almost all the water in the toilet bowl was gone, despite his efforts to conserve it. The cell was filled with the reek of urine. He had been peeing out into the corridor so not to contaminate his water supply. He had eaten the food he had squirreled away too fast. He knew that now. He had thought someone would come. He hadn't been able to believe. He didn't want to eat Trask. The thought of eating Trask was horrible. Just last night he had managed to slap one of his slippers over a cockroach and had eaten it alive. He had felt it scuttering madly around inside his mouth just before his teeth had crunched it in two. Actually, it hadn't been half bad, much more tasty than the rat. No, he didn't want to eat Trask. He didn't want to be a cannibal. It was like the rat. He would get Trask over within reaching distance. But just in case. Just in case. He had heard a man could go a long time without food as long as he had water. "Not much water, but I won't think about that now. Not just now. No, not just now." He didn't want to die. He didn't want to starve. He was too full of hate. The hate had built up at a fairly leisurely pace over the last 3 days, growing with his hunger. He supposed that if his long-dead pet rabbit had been capable of thought, it would have hated him in the same way. Lloyd's hate had coalesced around a simple imagistic concept, and this concept was the key. He was locked in. Once upon a time, it had seemed right that he should be. He was one of the bad guys. Not a really bad guy. Poke had been the really bad guy. Small shit was the worst he would have done without Poke. Still, he shared a certain amount of the blame. He supposed he deserved to take a fall, do a little time. It wasn't something you volunteered for, but when they had you cold, they gave you the bullet and you ate it. Like he had told the lawyer, he thought he deserved about 20 for his part in the tri-state kill spree. Not the electric chair. Christ, no. The thought of Lloyd Henreid riding the lightning was just... Well, it was crazy. But they had the key. That was the thing. They could lock you up and do what they wanted with you. In the last 3 days, Lloyd had vaguely begun to grasp the symbolic, talismanic power of the key. The key was your reward for playing by the rules. If you didn't, they could lock you up. It was no different than the go-to-jail card in Monopoly. And with the key went certain prerogatives. They could take away 10 years of your life, or 20, or 40. They could hire people like Mathers to beat on you. They could even take away your life in the electric chair. But having the key didn't give them the right to go away and leave you locked up to starve. It didn't give them the right to force you into eating a dead rat and to try to eat the dry ticking of your mattress. There were certain things you just couldn't do to people. Having the key only took you so far and no further. They had left him here to die a horrible death when they could have let him out. He wasn't a mad dog killer who was going to waste the first person he saw, in spite of what the papers had said. Small shit was the worst he had ever gotten into before meeting Polk. So he hated. For a while, it had seemed to him that the hate was a useless thing, because all of those who had the key had succumbed to the flu. They were beyond the reach of his vengeance. Then, little by little, as he grew hungrier, he realized that the flu wouldn't kill them. It would kill the losers like him. It would kill Mathers, but not that scumbag screw who had hired Mathers, because the screw had the key. It wasn't going to kill the governor or the warden. The guard who said the warden was sick had obviously been a fucking liar. It wasn't going to kill the POs, the county sheriffs, or the FBI agents. The flu wouldn't be able to touch those who had the key. But Lloyd would touch them. If he lived long enough to get out of here, he would touch them plenty. The cot leg snagged in Trask's cuff again. "Come on," Lloyd whispered. "Come on, come on over here. Camptown ladies, sing this song, all do da day." Trask's body slid slowly, stiffly, along the floor of his cell. No fisherman ever played a bonita more carefully or with greater wile than Lloyd played Trask. Once Trask's trousers ripped, and Lloyd had to hook on in a new place. But at last his foot was close enough so that Lloyd could reach through the bars and grab it, if he wanted to. "Nothing personal," he whispered to Trask. He touched Trask's leg. He caressed it. "Nothing personal. I ain't gonna eat you, old buddy. Not less I have to." He was not even aware that he was salivating. Lloyd heard someone in the ashy afterglow of dusk, and at first the sound was so far away and so strange, the clash of metal on metal, that he thought he must be dreaming. The waking and sleeping states had become very similar to him now. He crossed back and forth across that boundary almost without knowing it. But then the voice came, and he snapped upright on his cot, his eyes flaring wide, huge and lambent in his starved face. The voice came floating down the corridors from God knew how far up in the administration wing. "Hoo-hoo! Anybody home?" And strangely, Lloyd's first thought was, "Don't answer. Maybe he'll go away." "Anybody home? Going once? Going twice? Okay, I'm on my way, just about to shake the dust of Phoenix from my boots." At that, Lloyd's paralysis broke. He catapulted off the cot, snatched up the cot leg, and began to beat it frantically on the bars. The vibrations raced up the metal and shivered in the bones of his clenched fist. "No!" he screamed. "No, don't go! Please don't go!" The voice, closer now, coming from the stairway between administration and this floor. "We'll eat you up, we love you so. And oh, someone sounds so hungry." There was a lazy chuckle. Lloyd dropped the cot leg on the floor and wrapped both hands around the bars of the cell door. Now he could hear the footfall somewhere up in the shadows, clocking steadily up the hall that led to the holding cell block. Lloyd wanted to burst into tears of relief, but it was not joy, but fear he felt in his heart, a growing dread that made him wish he had stayed silent. Stayed silent? My God! What could be worse than starvation? Of course, there was no great hurry, because the barred gates at the head of the cell block were shut, and with the power off, the push buttons wouldn't work. His rescuer would have to go back and find the key. He would have to... Lloyd grunted as the electric motor which operated the barred gates whined into life. The silence of the cell block magnified the sound, which ceased with the familiar click-slam of the gates locking open. Then the steps were clocking steadily up the cell block walkway. Lloyd was standing at his cell door again. Now he involuntarily fell back two steps. He dropped his gaze to the floor outside, and what he saw first was a pair of dusty cowboy boots with pointed toes and run-down heels, and his first thought was that Polk had a pair like that. The boots stopped in front of his cell. His gaze rose slowly, taking in the faded jeans snugged down over the boots, the leather belt with the brass buckle, various astrological signs inside a pair of concentric circles, the jeans jacket with a button pinned to each of the breast pockets, a smile face on one, a dead pig, and the words, "How's your pork?" on the other. At the same instant, Lloyd's eyes reluctantly reached Randall Flagg's darkly flushed face. Flagg screamed, "Boo!" The single sound floated down the dead cell block and then rushed back. Lloyd shrieked, stumbled over his own feet, fell down, and began to cry.
"That's all right," Flagg soothed. "Hey, man, that's all right. Everything's purely all right."
Lloyd sobbed.
"Can you let me out? Please let me out. I don't want to be like my rabbit. I don't want to end up like that. It's not fair. If it wasn't for Polk, I never would have got into anything but small shit. Please let me out, mister. I'll do anything."
"You poor guy. You look like an advertisement for a summer vacation at Dachau."
Despite the sympathy in Flagg's voice, Lloyd could not bring himself to raise his eyes beyond the knees of the newcomer's jeans. If he looked into that face again, it would kill him. It was the face of a devil.
"Please," Lloyd mumbled. "Please let me out. I'm starving."
"How long you been shit-canned, my friend?"
"I don't know," Lloyd said, wiping his eyes with thin fingers. "A long time."
"How come you're not dead already?"
"I knew what was coming," Lloyd told the blue-jeaned legs as he drew the last tattered shreds of his cunning around him. "I saved up my food. That's what."
"How about Br'er Rat? How did he taste?" Lloyd put his hands over his face.
"What's your name?"
Lloyd tried to say, but all that came out was a moan. "What's your name, soldier?"
"Lord Henried."
He tried to think what to say next, but his mind was a jumble. He had been afraid when his lawyer told him he might go to the electric chair, but not this afraid. He had never been this afraid in his entire life.
"It was all Polk's idea," he screamed. "Polk should be here, not me."
"Look at me, Lloyd."
"No,"
Lloyd whispered. His eyes rolled wildly. "Why not?"
"Because..."
"Go on."
"Because I don't think you're real," Lloyd whispered. "And if you are real, mister, if you're real, you're the devil."
"Look at me, Lloyd." Helplessly, Lloyd turned his eyes up to that dark, grinning face that hung behind an intersection of bars. The right hand held something up beside the right eye. Looking at it made Lloyd feel cold and hot all over. It looked like a black stone, so dark it seemed almost resinous and pitchy. There was a red flaw in the center of it, and to Lloyd it looked like a terrible eye, bloody and half open, peering at him. Then Flagg turned it slightly between his fingers, and the red flaw in the dark stone looked like a key. Flagg turned it back and forth between his fingers. Now it was the eye, now it was the key. The eye, the key. He sang, "She brought me coffee, she brought me tea, she brought me damn near everything but the workhouse key." Right, Lloyd?
"Sure,"
Lloyd said huskily. His eyes never left the small dark stone. Flagg began to walk it from one finger to the next like a magician doing a trick.
"Now you're a man who must appreciate the value of a good key," the man said.
The dark stone disappeared in his clenched fist and suddenly reappeared in his other hand, where it began to finger walk again.
"I'm sure you are, because what a key is for is opening doors. Is there anything more important in life than opening doors, Lloyd?"
"Mister, I'm awful hungry."
"Sure you are," the man said.
An expression of concern spread over his face, an expression so magnified that it became grotesque.
"Jesus Christ, a rat isn't anything to eat. Why, do you know what I had for lunch? I had a nice, rare roast beef sandwich on Vienna bread with a few onions and a lot of golden spicy brown. Sound good? Lloyd nodded his head, tears oozing slowly out of his overbright eyes. Had some home fries and chocolate milk to go with it, and then for dessert. Holy crow, I'm torturing you, ain't I? Someone ought to take a horsewhip to me, that's what they ought to do. I'm sorry. I'll let you ride out, and then we'll go get something to eat, okay? Lloyd was too stunned to even nod. He had decided that the man with the key was indeed a devil, or even more likely a mirage, and the mirage would stand outside his cell until Lloyd finally dropped dead, talking happily about God and Jesus and golden spicy brown mustard as he made the strange black stone appear and disappear. But now the compassion on the man's face seemed real enough, and he sounded genuinely disgusted with himself. The black stone disappeared into his clenched fist again, and when the fist opened, Lloyd's wondering eyes beheld a flat silver key with an ornate grip lying on the stranger's palm. "My dear God!" Lloyd croaked. "You like that?" the dark man asked, pleased. "I learned that trick from a massage parlor, honey, in Secaucus, New Jersey, Lloyd. Secaucus, home of the world's greatest pig farms." He bent and seated the key in the lock of Lloyd's cell. And that was strange, because, as well as his memory served him, which right now was not very well, these cells had no keyways, because they were all opened and shut electronically. But he had no doubt that the silver key would work. Just as it rattled home, Flagg stopped and looked at Lloyd, grinning slyly, and Lloyd felt despair wash over him again. It was all just a trick. "Did I introduce myself? The name is Flagg, with the double G. Pleased to meet you." "Likewise," Lloyd croaked. "And I think, before I open this cell and we go get some dinner, we ought to have a little understanding, Lloyd."
"Sure thing,"
Lloyd croaked, and began to cry again. "I'm going to make you my right-hand man, Lloyd. Going to put you right up there with St. Peter. When I open this door, I'm going to slip the keys to the kingdom right into your hand. That's not such a bad deal, is it?"
"No,"
Lloyd whispered, growing frightened again. It was almost full dark now. Flagg was little more than a dark shape, but his eyes were still perfectly visible. They seemed to glow in the dark like the eyes of a lynx, one to the left of the bar that ended in the lockbox, one to the right. Lloyd felt terror, but something else as well. A kind of religious ecstasy, a pleasure. The pleasure of being chosen. The feeling that he had somehow won through to something. "You'd like to get even with the people who left you here, isn't that right?"
"Boy, that sure is,"
Lloyd said, forgetting his terror momentarily. It was swallowed by a starving, sinewy anger. "Not just those people, but everyone who would do a thing like that," Flagg suggested. "It's a type of person, isn't it? To a certain type of person, a man like you is nothing but garbage, because they are high up. They don't think a person like you has a right to live."
"That's just right," Lloyd said.
His great hunger had suddenly been changed into a different kind of hunger. It had changed just as surely as the black stone had changed into the silver key. This man had expressed all the complex things he had felt in just a handful of sentences. "You know what the Bible says about people like that?" Flagg asked quietly. "It says the exalted shall be abased, and the mighty shall be brought low, and the stiff-necked shall be broken. And you know what it says about people like you, Lloyd? It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God." Lloyd was nodding, nodding and crying. Yes, this man understood. "Now, you aren't very bright," Flagg said, "but I have the feeling you might be very loyal. You and I, Lloyd, we're going to go far. It's a good time for people like us. Everything is starting up for us. All I need is your word."
Word?
"That we're going to stick together, you and me. No denials, no falling asleep on guard duty. There will be others very soon. They're on their way west already. But for now, there's just us. I'll give you the key if you'll give me your promise.
I promise, Lloyd said.
And the words seemed to hang in the air, vibrating strangely. He listened to that vibration, his head cocked to one side, and he could almost see those two words glowing as darkly as the aurora borealis reflected in a dead man's eye. Then he forgot about them as the tumblers made their half-turns inside the lockbox. The next moment, the lockbox fell at Flagg's feet, tendrils of smoke seeping from it. You're free, Lloyd. Come on out. Unbelieving, Lloyd touched the bars hesitantly, as if they might burn him. And indeed, they did seem warm. But when he pushed, the door slid back easily and soundlessly. He stared at his savior, those burning eyes. Something was placed in his hand. The key. It's yours now, Lloyd.
Mine?
Flagg grabbed Lloyd's fingers and closed them around it, and Lloyd felt it move in his hand, felt it change. He uttered a hoarse cry, and his fingers sprang open. The key was gone, and in its place was the black stone with the red floor. He held it up, wondering, and turned it this way and that. Now the red floor looked like a key, now like a skull, now like a bloody, half-closed eye again.
Mine,
Lloyd answered himself. This time he closed his hand with no help, holding the stone savagely tight. Shall we get some dinner? Flagg asked. We've got a lot of driving to do tonight.
Dinner, Lloyd said. All right.
There's such a lot to do, Flagg said happily, and we're going to move very fast. They walked toward the stairs together, past the dead men in their cells. When Lloyd stumbled in weakness, Flagg seized his arm above the elbow and bore him up. Lloyd turned and looked into that grinning face with something more than gratitude. He looked at Flagg with something like love.